So Parshas Bamidbar begins with a lot of counting. Counting of the people. And everybody's got to count. We all have jobs to do. Specifically, there's an emphasis on the idea of the Yetzer Tzava, the concept of going out to war. And this counting, so to speak, enables us to be able to go out to fight the good fight and to, with God's help, transform the world. There's a lot to say about that. But at the end of the second reading, we finish the numbers, finish counting the individual Jewish people, and we move into the story of the Levim. Chapter 1, new book, Bamidbar, Pasuk 50. Va'ata hafked es ha-Levim al Mishkan ha'edus. Now, Hashem says to Moshe, you will appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony. Val kol kelev, and all the artifacts that are associated with it. Val shalei, and everything that's connected to it. Heima yisu es ha-Mishkan, they will be the ones to carry the Mishkan. V'yes kol kelev, and all of those artifacts. V'heim yishar suhu, they will be the ones to serve. V'sav v'la mishkan yachanu. Two things. Number one, they will be the ones to take down and to put back up. But more importantly, perhaps, we also have information about the camping. They will camp around the Mishkan. So Rashi doesn't really comment on this. He does come very briefly on this pasuk, and he says, what is the meaning of Va'ata hafked es ha-Levim? So hafked could mean a variety of things, including you should bring to memory. Like v'nifkadata ki yipaked meshavecha. Your pocket could be empty, your pocket could be spoken of. What is the meaning of hafked here? Rashi says, well, this you should look at the Targum, Ketargume. Unkelus renders it mani. Mani is l'shen minius rara. It's indicative of being an appointment of importance, a person given an important job to do. Al davar shehu mimuna alav, on something that one is appointed for, like, for example, we have in the book of Esther, it says, vayafked hamelech pikidim. The king appointed those who would be responsible. What was their job? Their job was arrange the beauty pageant so Achashverosh could have his pick. But the point is, Vayafke the Melech Pekidim was that he actually appointed people that they should serve as the ones who would be responsible for taking care and making sure that things happened. So this is why the Levim are getting this responsibility. And what will happen? So the Torah now specifies, Uvinsoya HaMishkan, when the Mishkan will set forth, Yoridu Oise HaLevim, the Levites will take it down. Uvachanois HaMishkan, and when the Mishkan will camp, Yokimu Oise HaLevim, the Levites will put it up. Bahazar HaKorev, and the stranger who brings himself close to these activities, Yumas, he forfeits his life. So there's two interesting things to point out over here. Number one, it says Yeridu Eisei. So Rashi says Yeridu Eisei means Kitargume. Here once again we lean on the Targum. The Targum says Yifarkun. Yifarkun means take the Mishkan down into its individual pieces. Take it apart. And that is Kishaboyan Lisa Mimidbar Bamidbar Mimasa Lamasa. When we set off on a journey from journey to journey, destination to destination, Hayu Mifarkin Eisei, the Levites would take it apart, Mahakamoise, from its erected state. V'neisen, I said, they would carry it ad mekayim asher yishken sham ha'on, until the place that the big cloud would stop. And the cloud would stop, of course, represented the presence of Hashem. So the presence would stop, and there they would put the Mishkan together. V'yachanu sham, there they would camp. U'makim, and I say, they would put it up. So Rashi is very clear that this idea of yiridu, I say, meant take apart. Take apart, put back together. What is Rashi emphasizing? This idea of take apart and put back together. So the Eitzik Dover says something very interesting. He says, why do we have to emphasize, after hearing in verse 50, that it's the Levites who will serve in the Mishkan, and the Levites who will take care of the Kelim, and they will camp around it. And then we emphasize again that when they travel, it's the Levites who take it apart. When they travel, it's the Levites who put it back together. We have this with details from Rashi explaining exactly what it means. The Eitzik Dover says that when it came to building the Mishkan, who was involved? Everybody was involved. More so even than the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the professionals were involved. When it came to the Mishkan, every member of Am Yisrael was involved. So you might think that this is a recurring thing. When it comes to putting the Beis HaMikdash up, when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, everybody should be involved. Whoever can get their hands on something should be there, they should be involved. Torah comes along and says, no. Building the Mishkan, yes. Putting it together is something else. fashioning the Mishkan from scratch. All of the Jewish people have to be involved. Putting the pieces together, taking the pieces apart, once all of that is already done, this is in the unique purview and domain of the Levites. So that's number one. Number two, V'hazor HaKarev. So number one, who's supposed to do this? We know only the Levites. And then the Torah says further, not only is it a positive mitzvah, not only the Levites should be the one to do this, but anybody who's not a Levite, who draws close, oh, big trouble, you must. There's a death sentence awaits you. Rashi says, for what? La'avedah samzu. Anybody comes close to this avedah, this act of service. You must, Rashi says, b'dei shomayim. The Ibn Ezra argues, he says, b'dei bezdin. And actually, this is a machlekes, a famous dispute, which we have in the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on page 84. The Gemara records three different opinions. Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel says that the was b'dei shomayim. And that's the opinion that Rashi follows here in Pshuta Shel Mikra. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that it was skila, which is the most heinous and severe form of death penalty carried out by the courts. And Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says that it was chenek, which is a lesser form of execution. At any rate, along the lines of the Gemara's dispute, we have the Rishonim kind of fall along those fault lines. Rashi says in a level of Pshuta Shel Mikra, no court is mentioned over here. It says you must. And you must. Whenever it's based on Mikdash oriented, it says you must, usually it means Misa B'dei Shomayim. Okay, so now we know the Levites have a job. They're the ones who should be serving, nobody else. Now we know how this is going to work, that the Mishkan will rise and the Mishkan will rest. And when that happens, the Mishkan has to be taken apart and put back together, more like the Shekhinah will rise and rest. And the Mishkan should be put together by the Levites, and nobody else allowed to go over there. Okay. So now we get a new verse that talks about the camping of the Levites, which is how verse 50 ended. V'chonu b'nei Yisrael ishal machaneu. Everybody is going to camp where they're supposed to camp. No, we're not talking about Levites anymore. Now we're talking about all the Jewish people. They will camp in their camps, in their troops. Ishal digli litzaveisam. Each one will camp by his banner according to their arrangements, their formation. V'halavim. What about the Levites? Well, we already said, Yachnu Savu LeMishkan, they're going to camp around the Mishkan. V'le'yiye ketzef, there will be no anger, ala das b'nei Yisrael, on the congregation, the children of Israel. V'shomru ha'levim es mishmeres mishkan ha'edis. And the Levites, they will serve in the watch of the tabernacle of testimony. So something very, very strange just happened over here. And what happened here is that the Torah emphasizes, v'chonu b'nei Yisrael ishal machaneo, everybody's in the camp, in their rightful place. Rashi says, "Kemoisha digolim sdurim b'sefer zeh," just as we're going to hear about the banners and the flags, it'll be arranged. So they'll camp in accordance with those banners and flags. Shalisha shavatim l'chol degel, three of the tribes for each of the banners. All right, fine. And then we came in verse 53, and the Levites will camp around. And Torah comes along and says, "V'liyah ketzef," there'll be no anger. Okay, anger? Why would it be anger? So Rashi says, "Even more anger." Liyah ketzef im tasuk imitzvasi. If you'll do like I said, liyah ketzef, there won't be any anger. Vim lav, and if they won't follow instructions, which means what does it won't follow instructions? Sheikan suzarim, that the strangers will enter in. They will all of a sudden say, "Hey, Levite, I can help you. I get involved too." Oh, that's bad news. If they do pull off something like that, Rashi says, "Liyah ketzef," there will be divine anger. K'meisha metzina b'maisa kerech, like we find in the story of Kerech. The anger that flared against Korach and his people was called in Hebrew Ketzef. So we know now that somebody who messes around with the Koyanim or Levim or gets involved and does their job, what's going to come their way? Ketzef. So now this is ostensibly a continuation of that which is written in verse 51. In verse 51 it says, Hazor HaKarev Yumas. The one that comes close is going to die. Okay. And then we interrupted with verse 52. And we talked about the encampment of all the Jewish people. And then we went on to verse 53 and we say, "Hey, wait, the Levites should camp." And all of a sudden, we're returning back to the original subject. Oh, by the way, forgot to mention, Liyah Ketzef. There shouldn't be anger because they will get involved in the Levites' work. Then there will be anger. So where was the place to say that? Earlier. Why do we interrupt with this camping instructions? Torah says, Zorah Korev Yumas. If you come close, you're going to die. Rashi says, Misa B'dei Shomayim, instantaneous, that'll come from heaven, not from earth, means you die prematurely. And then we had camping instructions. And the Torah returns its original message and says, oh, by the way, Lo Yiyah Ketzef, there shouldn't be anger. Because if they will do the job that's not designated for them, they will incur God's wrath. So something seems slightly off kilter. And to this, we'll dedicate the balance of today's class. Let's open up the Biurim book, page Yud Zayim, Simen Tes. This is the ninth entry on Parshas Bamidbar. So the Rebbe notes, first and foremost, Medivir Rashi Oyle, from the words of Rashi, it seems pretty clear, Sha'amilim Veleyeh Ketzef, that the words, there will be no anger, Adaz B'nei Yisrael, Mechuvana Yisla Inesh, Shiyachala B'nei Yisrael, this refers to the punishment that will come the way of the Jewish people. B'mikra, in an instance, She'ikansu Zarum La'vidasam Shalalavim, if the strangers will enter into the work which is designated for the Levites. B'doyme, very much in the image of what's said earlier. What did we say earlier in verse 51? Hazar HaKarev Yumas. The one who is a stranger, who doesn't belong in this Haveda, he's going to die. Very clear. Ostensibly speaking, something seems totally out of sorts here. Why does the Torah have to return and to re-emphasize the punishment of zorim, of strangers? Why does the Torah have to emphasize this? It's not a book later. It's not a chapter later. It's not even a page later. It's a verse later. You made a statement. You told everybody what you want, God. Then you talked about camping instructions. Then you came back and re-emphasized the same thing. And if it was important for it to say it in a positive and in a negative, or speak of consequences, then it should have said, "V'hazara karev yumas ki yotza haketzef ne'ashem," or "ki yetzi haketzef." What's the division? Why divide it? Why divide it? Why only later, as if we're returning to the subject? And that's what the Rebbe asks. The Rebbe asks here, why doesn't it say it right away? And furthermore, madu mafsik hakosef. It's not only why it doesn't say it right away. There's a clear interruption of the theme. There are two warnings. Two warnings are given to the people. Don't try to mess around with the Levite's job. It's a Levite job, not an Israelite job. You're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're a child of Hashem, yeah, but you're not a Levite. So the Levite's job is putting up the base of Mishkan and taking it down. You're not a Levite, don't mess around. Hands off, back off, don't do this. Torah warns us twice. The first time it says, Hazar HaKarev Yumas, which is pretty clear. Like, which part of that you don't understand? You come close, you're going to die. That's pretty straight. And then we have this pasuk later that says, Ki yotza ketzef from lefnei Hashem, which probably is the reason Rashi adopts the opinion, the approach of the Tanna Dvei Shmuel, because that seems clear. That is the same thing. It's about ketzef. It's about God, divine wrath and anger. It's not about the courts carrying out a punishment. So in that case, why interrupt with this business of, and here's how everybody should camp, and here's how the Levites should camp? Oh, and by the way, if they won't do it, and if the Levites will be interrupted, and other people will try to take their work away, then ketzef, then divine anger or wrath will flare forth. So the Rebbe says, V'yeshleimer sharashi miyashiv kshiyim elu b'diyuk l'sheinim. Rashi answers this already. You just have to read Rashi carefully. He said, if they follow instructions, there'll be no divine anger. Just follow instructions. What does this mean? Hamilim, the words, imtasu kimitzvosai, if they will do in accordance with my instructions and commandments, misyachseis lemitzvah hametueres bepsukim achreinim, refers not to the earlier command, namely, do not get involved in the Levite's work, but rather it refers to the second command, which was, v'chonu b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, will camp, ish al machaneu, each person on his camp, in his formation. The ish al digle, in each one, by virtue of their banner. L'tzivaysam. V'halavim, yachanu saviv. But the Levites, they have their own area to camp. Where's that? Saviv, around the Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'edus. K'loimar, in other words, sh'yesh lahakpid, that we have to be very, very careful about this, very exacting, al ezoide hamachana hanifradish of Bnei Yisrael, on keeping the segregation in place. Sounds terrible in the Western world, segregation. But this is kosher segregation. This is safe segregation. This is necessary segregation. It's important and necessary to segregate between Levites and between regular Jewish people. There should be individual encampments. It's critically important that there be individual encampments. And why is this? Because the Israelites have to be camped where they must be camped, and the Levites must be camped where they must be camped, and we have a divine commandment to remain segregated. Lishmar alaha hafrada b'nehem. You have to be standing guard, so to speak, on those divisions. Make sure those divisions stay in place. Ubehem shech lekach. And after the Torah tells you that everybody's got his own neighborhood to live in, and that those neighborhoods have to be kept intact, and their integrity should not be violated, the Torah comes along and says that there's a need for this great care and concern to be given. And the reason is, because if we're not going to be careful about this, shalayiyah ketzef al bnei Yisrael. What if we're not careful about segregation? What if there is a mixing and a melting? What if everybody comes together? It's going to be a kumbaya for the Jewish people. What happens then? It's not good. Then divine anger can flare forth. Why is that? Im alavim la yakpidu ala afrada bin Yisrael machne. If the Levites, it's the Levites' job, by the way. It's the Levites' job to make sure that no strangers come into the neighborhood. If there will be tivatze irvuvia, if what will result in is a mixture between halavim and between Yisraelim, Levites and Israelites, commoners and those set aside for the sacred service of Hashem, if they will mix together, hadavar alu ligrim b'seifeshal davar, this will cause, by domino effect, in the end, l'knisasam shal zorim l'tchum avedis ha-mishkan. Once they live in the neighborhood, once they're comfortable, once they start mixing, invariably, they will go further. What will happen then? What will happen is eventually that they will start to actually do these things. Davar sheyavi lidei ketzef al adas bnei Yisrael. That, my friends, will bring Hashem's anger against the Jewish people. There are many examples of this, of segregation, of lines, of walls we throw up, which are meant to separate. Why? Not that the mixing in and of itself is toxic, but it will necessarily lead to toxic results. And that is something we have to keep very careful guard of. Yes?
So why does Hashem differentiate between dying and anger?
Because the dying happens if you actually get involved into the Aveda. The Ketzef, the anger of Hashem, is what will begin to flare the moment we start to mix. Because clearly one will lead to the next. And eventually the anger will flare. V'zehu diuk lashon ha'kasuv. This is the exacting language that the Torah uses, the precise language. It says, le'yiyeh ketzef al adas b'nei Yisrael. It won't be a ketzef against who? Against the congregation. How many people is a congregation? Always a minimum of 10. But it means a plurality. It means many, not an individual. Hazor ha'korev is written in singular. Hazor, not hazorim. Zorim are strangers. Zor is a stranger. Singular. Why is it written in single tense? Because there'll be one person who decides that, I'm also a Levite. I can also build Hashem's house. And he decides to put his hands on the artifacts and build a Mishkan. Then invariably what will happen to that person who did that?
Yumas.
But when here it talks about Ketzev, it doesn't speak about Lashon Yochid. It's not speaking about individuals. Who's it speaking about? Lashon Rabin. It addresses a broad plurality of the people. There'll be ketzef against the nation, against the congregation, against the people. It's not speaking individually. And the point then is, af shemeduber kan, eini b'mikra boidit shel zor she'eskarif. This shekain, because indeed, the point is we're not speaking about an individual who wrongheadedly decides, no, I can build a Mishkan too. And I think I should be involved. And everybody should get a chance. I want to turn the screwdriver also. I want to feel like I'm building the Mishkan of Hashem. No. This is b'matza shel avuvia. This is what happens when there's a mix. When the people start to mix, invariably the next step is just a moment away. It's the way human nature is. Things never stay in the same place, never remain static. And once we're not careful about the divisions that Torah says should be there, the proper divisions that should be in place, once we start to blur those lines, it's only a matter of time before things will be wrong. And that's always the way it is. It starts off by not keeping the sharp, crisp line in place. And it will end up in a vuvia. There becomes a mix, a blurring. And once there's a blurring between Machne Yisrael and Machne Levim, once there's a mixing between the camp of the Levites and the camp of the Israelites, in our vuvio hanigremes ayidei bitul hafrada, this is a mixing. This is a non-orderly kind of reality because the order has been violated and there are zorim rabim, there are many strangers that now walk and live freely amongst the Levites. Invariably, that will cause that it'll be Azor HaKarev Yumas. And that's why the Torah is so clear in saying, number one, the Zor, the individual who comes forward and does it, Yumas. Number two, a second command. this commandment is about safe segregation. Everybody's got to remain in their area. And if we don't blur those lines, and if we respect those divisions and keep them in place carefully, le'yeh ketzef, there will be no anger.
So is the Rebbe interpreting this pasuk as being broader than just encampments, which obviously is just, you know, limited to its time and
well,
place?
Well, the technicality of these verses are speaking about the Levites and the encampments and the Mishkan, but we know Torah is a Torah's Chaim.
Right.
Torah's Chaim is a Torah of life.
Right.
So it means these are lessons for life. I could think of at least half a dozen things where the Torah wants certain segregation in place. And we have to hold by that. And if we start to mix it around, chas v'shalom, that's when trouble happens.
These
lines have to be
part of the mitzvahs.
Are these part of the mitzvahs? Well, the mitzvahs, the Rambam says that mitzvahs that are only applicable in the Midbar are not included in the 613 mitzvahs. But it's all Torah's Chaim. If the Torah is telling it to us, this is what was relevant then in a technical way. And of course, a mikra yetzim, midei pshutei, the verse cannot, chas v'shalom, ever be misconstrued from its literal meaning, but it has meaning for us. So whether it's a distinction that has to be between Jewish people and the nations, whether it's the distinction that the Torah specifically puts in place between genders, these are differences. Those differences have to be respected. And when they're respected, and when they're treated with care, then we know there'll be no ketzef. And then our people will live in the way Hashem wants them to live. And when we live as Hashem wants us to live, and camp proverbially as Hashem wants us to camp, then the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is amongst us.
Thanks.
Somebody's got to hit that, and then we can do questions after the way.